Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson, at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, 800-224-2004. Call on in and let us know what you want to talk about, what you like, what you don't like. We got John and Belmer, Johnny Two Jobs on the other side of the glass for another hour, and we got a great hour ahead. We got to talk about the college football playoff, what the implications are right now. Let's look at the Cincinnati Bengals from top to bottom. Can we buy into the stock? Two-minute warning coming up in about 6 minutes. But Belmer, on the other side of the glass, decided to let me know a little bit of trivia about why this Braves-Astros World Series is so interesting. Belmer, would you like to let me know?
That's one of the interesting things about it. Houston Astros hitting coach Troy Snitker, the son of Atlanta Braves head coach Brian Snitker. So there is a little family connection, a little family rivalry going on in this World Series.
I love that because if there's so many ties to Atlanta and Houston right now, that's one. The other one is the Dusty Baker tie, which I think a lot of people kind of forget about. Dusty Baker was sitting in the on-deck circle when he watched Hank Aaron trot around third base for home run number 715 to beat the Babe and become the all-time leader in home runs. You have that tie with the organization. You have he's very close friends with Ron Washington, Atlanta's third base coach. And on top of that, he and Brian Snitker are the two oldest managers active in baseball right now. So you look at all that, there's a lot to go into and go, oh, look at that. So many ties. So much that you got to like. There's so much that you have to like about this Astros-Braves World Series, especially because the sheer fact of the matter is nobody wanted this. Nobody wanted this to be the World Series. It's one of those ones that's like, oh, we have a game here in Houston, and we have a game here in Georgia. Texas and Georgia. If you have a game out in Boston and a game out in L.A., you're coast to coast. You're scoring. Every person in the world is going to watch this game. They're going to have the game on early enough out west and late enough out east to where everybody can be involved, and all eyes will be on baseball. But instead, the two best teams right now are probably Atlanta versus Houston. So many family ties. By the way, the Snitker Thanksgiving dinner, that's going to be offered November.
Time for the two-minute warning around the NFL. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Every single day around this time, we go up and down the NFL storylines to give you some of the biggest news that you could have missed in Sunday's action, and we try to do it in 2 minutes. So, Johnny Two Jobs, start the clock.
All right. Number one, we got Tom Brady's brief time in Tampa Bay has been filled with milestones, and Sunday marked another one. Tom Brady became the first player in NFL history to throw 600 touchdowns in his career. The Buccaneers signal caller reached the landmark with a second touchdown pass this Sunday against the Bears, hitting Mike Evans for a touchdown and a 9-yard score.
You know what's funny to me is that everyone is, like, again, it's the whole Patrick Mahomes thing. Oh, we got the next Tom Brady. Dude, let me explain something to you. John Elway has 300 passing touchdowns. He has 300 passing touchdowns. He's top 10. He is top 10. There's 300 more between him and Tom Brady. Top 10. It's not happening. You're never going to see another quarterback like this as long as we live. If you want to be someone, you're the first of your own kind moving forward. You're not the next Tom Brady. Nobody is the next Tom Brady. For the way he's able to play, the way he's able to maneuver, the way that he is consistently finding opportunities, windows wide open, hitting players in stride, very much an accurate quarterback still at age 43. He's not slowing down. I mean, honestly, you could tell me right now, oh, Tom Brady's going to play for another 5 years. I believe it. I would. Because the way that he is playing in Tampa Bay, it's comical. It's comical. Because nobody should be playing this good at this age. Not only is he defying the age limit, he's also making sure that every single day, I have to be reminded that I struggle doing the elliptical for 45 minutes. I literally go work out every single day, and I'm never going to be in that kind of shape in my life. And you want me to come out here and say, oh, you know, Josh Allen could be the next Tom Brady. No, he can't. Patrick Mahomes is the next Tom Brady. No, he's not. There's one and only GOAT in the NFL, and his name is Thomas Brady. Welcome to the NFL, kids. 7 Super Bowls, 600 touchdowns. There is a guy who was considered at one point the most complete quarterback prospect the NFL has ever seen by the name of John Elway. Tom Brady has 300 more touchdowns than him. Go ahead and make the argument of why we are going to say the next Tom Brady will never exist because there's one and only TB12.
Another bad outing this weekend led to the premature end of Sam Darnold's day down in Carolina. Down 15-3, the Carolina Panthers benched their starting quarterback early in the fourth quarter against the Giants. And they went to back up P.J. Walker. When asked following the 25-3 loss if Darnold would be benched moving forward, Panthers coach Matt Rhule said that he would be given another shot next weekend when Carolina takes on the Falcons.
The reality is, honestly, let's go ahead and break this down. Sam Darnold was benched for P.J. Walker, a guy who played quarterback last for the Houston Roughnecks. And don't get me wrong, the Roughnecks in the XFL were a lot of fun. They also were a bunch of players who are probably on practice squads or barely on NFL rosters. Let's not mix those two up. I get it. D'Ernest Johnson for the Cleveland Browns had a fabulous day, and he crushed it in the AAF. He crushed it in his one start. But don't think for one second that you would not go pound for pound and say, I want D'Ernest Johnson over Nick Chubb. No, you wouldn't. Stop it. Stop it. And they went to P.J. Walker. They said that it was because they wanted offensive consistency. That's not it whatsoever. It's just Sam Darnold can't pick up the offense. He's not working. He's not clicking. There's something not right. And at this point, it's very easy to give up on him. I was a huge Sam Darnold stan. I love Sam Darnold. I thought that Sam Darnold was actually going to be able to fix things out in Carolina. And the reality is that maybe he can as the team's number two in the future. He's not a starter. He has struggled immensely picking up the offense in the last couple weeks. Everything that we saw the first three, really 4 weeks, because of that one interception to Trevon Diggs was terrible. The other one, not so much. The first 4 weeks of the season, Carolina looked to be a competent team. Now they don't. Now they look to be spiraling back down to earth. And unfortunately, the main reason is not Sam Darnold, but the number two reason is. The offensive line is playing like complete and total dog crap, but Darnold is playing like complete and total dog crap as well. When an offense is doing that, you have no consistency. By the way, this was a New York Giants team that was limited at offensive line, limited at wide receivers, missing starters galore all across the board, and you allow them to score 25 points. 25. By the way, on top of all that, your defense, the defense that New York has, one that's been underachieving, didn't allow 100 passing yards for Darnold. There are some big problems here in Carolina. And I get it. You're going to start him next week. Well, here's the good news. Corner reports, Carolina's also in on the Deshaun Watson deal. You may not have to wait that much longer. Sam Darnold would have to start one more game before Deshaun Watson era would start in the Queen City. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out.
Well, you mentioned dog crap there, so let's move on to the Jets here. Zach Wilson suffered a knee injury early on in the second quarter of New York's 54-13 loss to the Patriots, and he didn't return to the game. Wilson will undergo an MRI today, Jets coach Robert Saleh told reporters after his defeat, adding that the team initially feels good about the severity of Wilson's injury. It was reported the initial belief is that Wilson suffered an injury to his PCL. Today's test will likely tell how much time the QB will miss.
Let's just go with this. Mike White had to come in for most of the second half of that game. He finished 20 of 32 with 202 passing yards, and he had a QBR of 47.3 and a passer rating of 64.8. Compare that to Zach Wilson, who did not have a touchdown, did average less yards per throw, was sacked only one time. had a QBR of 62.7 and a passer rating of 73.3. We can't blame all of this on Zach Wilson. I don't like Zach Wilson. I don't think he was going to be a good NFL quarterback to begin with, but we can't blame this all on Zach Wilson. This is a bloodbath. This is an organization that has no rhythm and no consistency. They allowed 400 passing yards. Mac Jones went off on the day, 307 yards per pass. You guys saw Brian Hoyer make an appearance at one point and towards the end of the game. That means that Mac Jones, a rookie quarterback, was said, you know what, dude, you don't need any more reps. We're good. Have a nice day. Go back to your hole. We don't need to worry about you. Deuces kind of style. New York is in so much trouble. Zach Wilson needs these reps because if he needs to learn how to play with adversity, the fact that he could be missing multiple games, and I mean multiple games, is a huge deal for this team. And I'm going to tell you right now, New York, thank God they got a victory over the Tennessee Titans. You look at their schedule moving ahead. They do not have a lot of winnable games. The Bengals are red hot. The Colts are red hot. The Bills are red hot. If Zach Wilson comes back and if somehow Tua Tagovailoa is still starting and this team is playing the way they are, maybe they win against the Miami Dolphins. I don't think that they beat the Houston Texans. I don't think that they beat the Eagles. They definitely don't beat the Dolphins at home, in Hard Rock. They're very glad that they have a win because if Zach Wilson misses this much time, they win another game this year. 1-16 feels very plausible, and the race for first place between them, the Jaguars, the Lions, and the Texans, all to land Kayvon Thibodeau, because let's be real, he's deserving of being the number one pick, is on. And honestly, I would not be shocked to see all four of these teams start their engines, get the rev going, and finish to the last place finish line.
1 week after Dak Prescott suffered a calf injury on the final play of the Cowboys' win against the Patriots last week, the Cowboys remain optimistic that their star quarterback will be ready to go. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, to make his next start next Sunday at Minnesota. They're trying to be careful with him, but sources say Prescott is not expected to participate in light practice today when the team returns from its bye.
Well, here's the good news. I don't really need to see that much of practice from Dak Prescott. I see him on game film, and right now, game film, he's looking great. I mean, literally, think about this for a second. Dallas is two or three plays away from being undefeated this season. I never thought I would say that. I never thought, like saying that those words in that order coming out of my mouth is ugh, like, ugh. But at some point, you got to admit, Dallas played a more complete game with Dak Prescott under center in week one than Tampa Bay did with Tom Brady. They just got very lucky on a field goal towards the end of the game. That's exactly how that game went down. And besides that, they have been flawless. So I don't really need to see what Dak Prescott is going to do. The problem is Dak going to be able to stay healthy the remainder of the season? They have some easy games ahead to where if you want to pull him early against Denver, against Atlanta, I never thought I'd say this one either, against Kansas City's defense, you're going to be able to probably rest him a little bit and trust the run game of Tony Pollard versus Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. But the Raiders, the Saints, the Giants, the Cardinals, all four of those games could be a major factor in deciding playoff seeding. It could be a major factor in deciding if Dallas can finish either 2 or 3 or 4 or if they fall out completely. Who knows? Who knows if this goes down? We have no idea. But I need to make sure Dak Prescott is healthy. The good news is that in practice, limit him all you want. I'm very okay with that. Beating up on Minnesota's defense is not that challenging. It's like beating up on the Atlanta defense. It's like beating up on Kansas City's defense. All you got to do is trust the run. Make sure you stabilize it. And then Dak, get a couple of good passes off here and there. You know, last game, what did he finish? Yeah, 51 passes. Maybe limit that to 35. Maybe go ahead and just make sure that he's not running around. Keep him clean in the pocket and let him be protected. Dallas is going to be able to win a lot of games this year that way. And I think that honestly, as long as you have Dak Prescott out on the field, you're never going to be able to rule Dallas out. Don't like it, but unfortunately, you got to respect it. There you have it. 2-minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up your parts for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts and visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So let's go ahead and talk about something that I think is a big surprise. There's two right now in the NFL. The first one is how bad Miami has played. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Tua in all those games. Maybe they do get some wins. Because Jacoby Brissett, everyone's going to say, oh, well, he's playing a little bit better than Jacoby Brissett. No, he's not. He's playing a lot better than Jacoby Brissett. I think that maybe they get that win over the Las Vegas Raiders in week three. I think maybe they go toe-to-toe with the Indianapolis Colts in week four. It doesn't matter. I don't think that they would beat the likes of Tampa Bay. You know, you have a fluke field goal that was not a loss on Tua in week five with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was partially a loss in week six against Atlanta. They were not going to beat the Buffalo Bills that day. So maybe they're 3-4. Maybe they're 2-5. They're not a 500 team, but that's more so as a team. Speaking of teams, the other team, the big team that feels like the other surprise has got to be the Cincinnati Bengals. I like Cincinnati. I do. I think Cincinnati is fun. I think they're energetic. I think there's a lot to bring around them from top to bottom. There's a lot to like about the Cincinnati Bengals because of they have the right quarterback. But let's be real. It's not as if Cincinnati has been an organization for years that has been impressive. They're one of the few teams. There's high school programs in the state of Texas that have indoor complexes for winter sports. They don't have an indoor complex in Cincinnati for the Bengals. They practice every day outside. They don't have an indoor complex for when the snow's coming on. They don't have an upgrade at the stadium. And by the way, they're a team that doesn't spend a lot of money in free agency. But at least I got to give us some credit to the Brown family this year. They spent some money. They made some picks. They made some very costly, questionable decisions. And they put their faith that Joe Burrow was going to figure it out. And so far they have. Big time victory over the likes of the Baltimore Ravens this past weekend. I said on the show, on Best Bets, I would not be shocked to see Cincinnati win outright. They did. They absolutely did. And it came behind the performance of Joe Burrow, who's playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL. 400 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He has 17 touchdowns this season. I would like to see him limit the turnovers. He has 8 interceptions, but he's about a yard away. He's about 50 yards away from being at 2,000 passing yards through 7 games this year. He's connecting with all of his wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase, what an absolute stud. I mean, honestly, I get it. I understand the Yipsworth thing, but the difference between him and the next wide receiver, there's no denying he was easily wide receiver one in this class. Devonta Smith is great. Jaylen Waddle is stellar. But guess what? There's no denying it. It 100% was Ja'Marr Chase. 8 catches, 201 yards, averaging 25.1 yards per play, big-time 80-yard touchdown pass. I mean, we all know that. CJ Uzama, I can't believe that's always – I don't know why it's so hard, but it really shouldn't be that hard to say. 30.3 yards per catch, 2 big touchdowns, including a 55-yarder. You had T. Higgins have a really good day. Tyler Boyd have a really good day, playing that number 2 role and that number 3 role. But defensively is where they've really started to make their bread and butter. I really like this defensive team. I really like how they played. You had a really good day from Logan Wilson at the linebacker spot. Jesse Bates is one of the more underappreciated, yet somehow still not signed to a long-term extension, free safeties in the NFL. He's playing very well with Von Bell. Von Bell has done a very nice job playing in Lou Amaro's defense, especially as that kind of that dime backer, more so like box safety type role, done a very good job complementing the likes of this team. Akeem Davis-Gathers has played very well. Chidobe Awuzie was one of the free agents that they signed. He's having a stellar campaign that people are not talking about. Sam Hubbard was signed to a brand new deal. He was able to get 2.5 sacks. I think his total right now at this point, if I'm not mistaken, it's up to 5 sacks on the year. Trey Hendrickson, a guy that everyone said was going to fall apart. He had a sack yesterday. He brings his total to 6.5 this year. He ranks top five right now in sacks. Guys, Cincinnati is a good team. I know it's weird to say. I know it's frustrating because if everyone looked at the team and what we saw, them draft Jamar Chase over Penei Sewell, them go ahead and take Jackson Carmen, an unpolished tackle, and they move him to guard. And we all said at some point, what a terrible draft. It's too risky. You got to go find a left tackle. I'm not here to say the offensive line is perfect because it's far from it. But you have the right quarterback. You have some weapons. You have a good defense. You're playing good football. You're doing exactly what you're taught to do. And at the end of the day, isn't that enough? You have the right pieces. As long as you have enough marquee names, you're going to be successful. Cincinnati is winning on third down. They're winning passing the ball efficiently deep downfield. They have an emerging superstar quarterback in Joe Burrow, weapons galore, and defensively, they are playing lights out. You have all three of those elements, you're going to be successful. And right now, it's very hard to say that Cincinnati is not going to be able to go on a tear. Look at their next four games. They may be playing against a Case Keenum-led Cleveland Browns team, a Las Vegas Raiders team, which I still do not know what to make of them, a Steelers team that has no consistency, the New York Jets. If they win those four games, they're going to be sitting above 500 for the first time in 4 years. They're going to be a playoff team. There's a lot that can go wrong for this Cincinnati team. But the fact of the matter is, it's taken less time to develop Joe Burrow than I thought. More so, this offensive coaching staff is doing a phenomenal job with play calling. Zach Taylor just needed a little bit more time to figure it out. You can make a valid argument he's coach of the year from being coach on the hot seat. And bearing an implosion, this is going to be a team to watch for deep down the stretch. I love what I'm seeing from Burrow. I love what I'm seeing from this defense. Cincinnati, whether you want to admit it or not, get your stripes, get your pride, go ahead and admit it. They are looking like a legitimate contender. You know who else is looking like a legitimate contender for at least the Heisman? Kenny Pickett. Guys, I said this earlier on the show this year. I love Kenny Pickett. There's something about him that just stands out that makes so much sense. And even though you look at how Clemson has played all season, it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. Clemson may be a 3-4 team, or a 4-3 team. They may have a lot of offensive struggles. Defensively, they were top three in scoring defense. Teams were averaging less than 13 points per game. And Pickett lit it up. 302 passing yards, a completion rating of 64.1%, two passing touchdowns, a QBR rating of 146.1. Guy just crushes it. And you know what? This is the one thing you gotta like about him coming back for one final year at Pittsburgh. Pat Narduzzi did not think that he was going to be able to have his quarterback back, but at the same time, didn't really matter because last season, the Panthers struggled. The Panthers were not a good football team. They lost more games than they won. And on top of that, Pickett was atrocious. He was so inconsistent. 1 year, another year to develop, another year to kind of learn, another year to kind of put the pieces together, and everything is now finding balance and consistency. Top 10 in passing yards, top 10 in touchdowns, top 10 in QBR, top 10 in completion rating. One interception on the year. Now, I get it. The problem is that Pittsburgh right now, when you look at the Panthers, they don't play anybody. The next time that they probably will play a ranked team will come if they represent the ACC Coastal Division. They represent the Coastal Division in the postseason. And they're going to have to play Wake Forest, who right now is borderline a top 10 team. But overall, Pickett can take these last five games against Miami, Duke, UNC, Virginia, and Syracuse to cushion the stat line. He could very well be 11-1. And on top of that, he very well could throw for over 40 touchdown passes, less than 5 interceptions, 5,000 passing yards, a QBR rating of over 90, a passer rating of over 125, and a completion rating of over 75%. If you post those numbers, no matter if it's a good year or a bad year, in the ranks of the Heisman, you're definitely in the running. Kenny Pickett may be your favorite going into week 9.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Industrial strength free all spreads deep into rusted frozen parts, freeing them with ease. The three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Freeall also is body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicone free. Great for fuel tank removal, seized engines, stuck ball joints, rusted nuts and bolts, rusted machine screws, universal rusted joints, pillow blocks, and more. We are excited. Make sure you are too to get deep in with Freeall deep penetrating oil. All right, it's that time of the day. Cole's calendar. What pointless holiday are we going to represent on October 25th for the remainder of our lifetime here at SportsMap Radio Network?
Look, speak for yourself on the pointless one because...
I don't like national holidays. I'm sorry. Not every day is special, but you know
what? There's a few of them that are pretty good, though.
All right, let's hear them.
So the first one, apparently yesterday was sweetest day. You were supposed to have sweets. Today is sourest day. So things like lemons and sour foods, you're supposed to enjoy those today.
I will say I actually got told by a doctor I need to cut back on my acidic intake because if I put lemon juice on everything.
It's so good though, right?
I love lemon juice. Like, and everyone's always like, dude, what is wrong with you? I can do that. I can do pickle juice. I can do all that sour stuff. With these. The only candy I like is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Sour Patch Kids. Those are the only two that I actually like to any level. So, honestly, the more I used to eat Mega Warheads, I used to just stick like 8 or 9 in my mouth at one point and just watch my face turn like upside down. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I nearly killed myself doing it. But, you know, at the same time, who didn't make a lot of mistakes like that when you were younger? So, That's a good one.
My first thought when I seen that was going to the corner store and buying some Warheads or something.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, honestly, I should just do a segment tomorrow with my mouth full of Warheads, see how I last. I think that'd be fun. What else we got?
This next one's going to upset anybody on a diet. Today is National Greasy Foods Day.
I'm not on a diet. I know I shouldn't have greasy food. I don't think I'm going to today. I actually think I'm having a salad for lunch, and then I think I'm making a very light, easy chicken dish that is no grease whatsoever. But, I mean, there are days where just a nice greasy hamburger sounds, like, perfectly divine. Greasy wings sound great. I mean, they're up there. It's one of those things just, mwah.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. Grease is bad for you. Well, sometimes the worst things for you are the best tasting. I mean, if they weren't supposed to be great tasting, why would they be so bad?
Yeah, most of the time that ends up being the case, right?
Like, come on. Like, if you made Brussels sprouts tasty, and there's no way you can. I'm sorry. There's no way you can make Brussels sprouts.
No, there's not.
That and turnips. There's no way you can make either one of them tasty. If you found a way to do it, you probably would see more people eating them. You don't have to make gravy bad tasting. All you got to do is just put some flour in, get a little bit of seasoning, and oh, my God, that fatty gravy stuff, mwah. All right, what else we got?
One more for the horror fans or the Halloween fans out there. Today is Chucky the Notorious Killer Doll Day as well.
I'm Chucky. Want to play? Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Listen, I love Chucky. I actually do. Like Child's Play is actually a very good movie. No. I'm not giving it because of, you know what? Like Halloween, you get all these days. You get 31 days to celebrate. Let's give it some love to someone else. I'm not going to have grease today. So by default, I hereby decree October 25th is National Sourest Day.
Yeah.
Sourest. All right. National Sourest Day. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to go ahead and buy yourself either a pack of Sour Patch Kids, some Mega Warheads, or drink a gallon of lemon juice. Either way, make sure you get your acidic sour intake in today. Cole Thompson approves it. You know what I don't approve of? Putting Oklahoma in the college football playoff. I don't. I don't care what you have to say. Don't give me an excuse. Don't say anything. I saw somebody tweet out, I'll leave their name blank, but they have a blue check mark next to their name, and they work for another company saying, Oklahoma is 8-0. You don't have to like it, but you have to respect it. I don't have to do jack crap. I don't have to do jack diddly whatsoever. Don't even try and make me think I have to. Oh, a team's 8-0. You know who a lot of people don't respect at 8-0? Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 8-0, And because they play in a non-Power 5 school, people go, not college football playoff material. Well, you know who else is in college football playoff material? Oklahoma. Oklahoma is not. And you know why? It's not just the fact that they struggled with Spencer Rattler to begin the year. It's not just the fact that they almost lost to a one-win Tulane team. It's not the fact that up until 2 weeks ago when they played TCU, they had not beaten an opponent by more than 7 points. It's the fact that you had to go toe-to-toe with Kansas. Kansas. I must say that one more time for everybody out there to listen to. It's Kansas. One of the worst programs in FBS history that has made so many bad decisions with coaching hires, that has done everything in its power to try and turn the program around since Mark Mangio left in, what was it, 2008. They have more losses than I think any other team besides the University of Connecticut and Massachusetts. That is how bad Kansas is, and Kansas led 10-0 at halftime. If it wasn't for Caleb Williams, and I mean legitimately, if it was not for the freshman quarterback, the wizard himself, Superman 2.0, literally putting the team on said back and carrying them into the end zone on three different occasions, you do not win this game. You were upset by the Jayhawks. This would be the biggest win in Jayhawk program history. And what's even crazier is, even when Williams was able to get the job done, move the ball on the ground, find ways to find the end zone, your defense still allowed Kansas to come back. There was one point where Kansas was only down by 5. They ran the clock down to a certain extent to where all you had to do was get Kenny Burks to pound it in, and you won by 12. You didn't really win by 12. And by the way, just because you did, if you watched the game, guess what? You saw straight up who was the better team that day. You had more consistent plays from Kansas and Lance Leipold, who, by the way, I believe is going to be the guy that fixes Kansas. They're never going to be an 8-4 win team, a 9-3 win team, but they're going to be a 6-6 win team within 3 years. They're going to go to a bowl game in a few years. That I do believe. Lance Leipold is going to turn this program around, and you can see that based on how his players played this past week against Oklahoma. The fact of the matter is that Oklahoma has one top 25 win over a Texas team that maybe is a little bit overrated and has imploded on itself more times this year than none. They do not have a more profitable win outside of that, and they've only beaten two teams by more than 10 points. Two teams by more than 10 points. Whether or not Caleb Williams is your starting quarterback or not, defensively, you have issues. Offensive line is weak. And the fact is, you look at the production of Kennedy Brooks, he's the only good running back on this team, and even with the passing attack now starting to find consistency, with now Caleb Williams leading the way, there's a lot of problems with Oklahoma. You can be undefeated and be overrated. You see it all the time in college sports. Oklahoma is an overrated number 3 team in the AP poll. I would have them not in the top 5, and they certainly would not be in my college football playoff. I look at these teams top to bottom, and they're really, to me, is a difference between being an 8-0 good team and a 5-2 great team. There are several 5-2 great teams out there. There's a lot of average 8-0 teams out there. Which brings me into my next point. Does anybody want to go to the college football playoff? Does anybody? Because let's just look at the new top four. It's Georgia coming in at number 1. It's Cincinnati still at number 2. It's Alabama actually at number 3. My bad. And it's Oklahoma at number 4. Oklahoma number 4, Alabama number 2, 3, Cincinnati, Georgia. Cincinnati nearly lost to a 2-win team, Navy, on the road. So their chance of making the postseason almost busted. Oklahoma nearly lost to a Kansas team. A Kansas team that was 0-3 in conference play, one win this year, and I think it was over an FCS school where they won by a field goal. And Alabama has one loss on the record. By the way, they did not have that good of a game either against the likes of Tennessee. They had a really good fourth quarter. Watch the first three. Again, this is what I talk about when I say, oh, don't look at the stat line. Don't look at the final score. There is a lot that went wrong for Alabama in this game. But it's not as if anyone else played up to standard. 9 overtimes for Penn State and then to lose to Illinois. By the way, anybody who doesn't understand why the final score was 20-18, after the second overtime, it's just two-point conversions. You got to go for the two-pointer, and you get it. Great. If you don't, you move on to the fourth overtime. 9 overtimes against a rebuilding Illinois team. Nope, you definitely don't want a Penn State. Meanwhile, Michigan, they got a big-time win over the likes of Northwestern. They still got to play Ohio State. They still have to play Michigan State. Michigan State still has to play Penn State. They still have to play the likes of Ohio State as well. Ohio State, they have some games ahead. It's a juggernaut for the Big Ten. So guess what? You're going to knock these teams off. I would not be shocked to see Penn State beat Michigan State, who beats Michigan, who then beats Ohio State, but Ohio State beats Michigan, and they all have 2 losses. Like, does anybody want to actually play in the college football playoff? Alabama? For as much as I love the Crimson Tide, this is not that good of a team. This is a very average team this year. And by the way, this is a team that they did win, but they still have a few more games on their schedule, which I don't know they can get by. LSU? Yeah, they'll be fine. New Mexico State? Yeah, they'll be fine. Arkansas? Are we sold on that? Arkansas has definitely gone through some struggles, but I'm not going to lie. They're not playing bad, even in their close losses. Remember this for a second. Arkansas is 5-3. They went down to the wire one play away from beating Ole Miss. They're 3 plays away from beating Auburn. Oh, and by the way, Auburn right now, they're 5-2, but they're much better than 5-2. Their 2 losses, Georgia, which is the most complete team in college football, said that since the start of the year, and Penn State, which at the time was playing elite football, was at the time arguably an easy lock for the college football playoff. Absolutely. Auburn can win out. Auburn can go 10-2 this year. I would have no shock that they could not beat Alabama. We're going to put UTSA in the college football playoff. They look consistent. They have a 45-14 win over Louisiana Tech. Texas A&M, they beat Alabama. They went out. They're 10-2. They would represent the SEC West should Alabama lose one more game. Ole Miss, guess what? They could be 11-1. They absolutely could with their 1 loss coming to Alabama. You don't want to say that? Pitt gets a win over Clemson. Oklahoma State, remember when they were really hot? What did I say? Iowa State was going to show the world that there were offensive inconsistencies. Guess what happened? Spencer Sanders did not have his best, actually had his best day. 3 passing touchdowns. Defensively, one of the worst days. One of the worst days defensively. Didn't think that was going to happen. Oregon goes toe-to-toe down to the wire with UCLA, gets a 34-31 win. Does anybody want to play in the college football playoff this year? I just want to know. Or should we just crown Georgia, who had a bye week and didn't move the needle whatsoever? Did not move the needle whatsoever in its status as the top team in college football. Does anybody want to play them? More importantly, can anybody play them? Is there a team out there after this past week, this absolutely boring yet somehow wonderful week of college football? Does anybody want to play Georgia? If so, please stand up, show yourself, be the next Slim Shady, and represent proving that you are the number 2 team in the country. The fact that I have to argue Alabama maybe is, or Cincinnati maybe is, or Ohio State maybe is, the fact that I have to do this argument shows the gap between the Bulldogs and everybody else in college football. It's number 1 Georgia. Insert your favorite team in at number 2. Guess what? You could probably make a valid argument that they actually are the 2nd best team in the country, which is a major problem when you look at all 3 teams vying for that other college football playoff spot. You might as well go ahead and hand Georgia the trophy now. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every single day right here on Just Saying It. Sometimes the national holidays that I make fun of are actually kind of fun. Sometimes there's ones that I can actually get behind and enjoy. And yesterday was one of them because it was National Tight Ends Day in the NFL, and it's a very underrated position. I don't think enough people give enough respect to the position as a whole because they see Travis Kelce and what he does or George Kittle and what he does, and that's about it. They're like, ah, you know what? Everyone else is kind of second nature. Well, on National Tight Ends Day, it was a fantastic day to be in that position because it felt like everybody was going to score. Robert Tonyan had a breakout day against the Washington football team. You had Michael Pruitt get a touchdown against the Kansas City Chiefs. Both Mike Gesicki and Kyle Pitts had excellent days. Gesicki had 2 touchdown receptions. You had Kyle Pitts set a record day of 163 receiving yards and averaged over 23 yards per catch. Hunter Henry got a touchdown against the New York Jets. You had C.J. Uzama getting a pair of touchdowns on the way to leading the Cincinnati Bengals to a big-time victory. You had Foster Moreau get a touchdown for the Las Vegas Raiders, taking the spot of, who was it? Oh, Darren Waller, that's right. Jared Goff, he connected with T.J. Hockenson for 50 yards. You had Tyler Higbee have over 50 yards. Zach Ertz, first game with the New York for the Arizona Cardinals. He had a 49-yard touchdown. Gotta love it. National Tight Ends Day. Sometimes the holidays are stupid, but they do last. All right, that does it for me. Everybody have a good morning. We'll talk all things tomorrow, NFL. See you soon. Later.